Good evening.
Guess I'm used to being welcomed here, so welcome here. I think we could pause for a prayer, ask the Lord to be with us here. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, God, we want you to be here with us. Pray that your Spirit would be speaking. Father, we pray that you would draw those who are not come to Jesus yet. We pray that those of us who are, we would be fed and strengthened tonight. And help us to have the real deal communion tonight. And as we go from here, to continue to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't know if I'm going to speak a lot or if I'll just read Bible. Jotted down a bunch of scriptures if you want to find them, and I'll go through them. John 1, verse 1 to 4, and verse 14, and John 6, 35 to 66, and then 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2, and then 12 to 19. It's just the scriptures that came to mind when I found out about sharing tonight. So those are scriptures that came to my mind and didn't know where they are, but I was able to find them with some computer as a search box, and so I was able to find what I was looking for. So I think I'll just read and see if there's more to comment on. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And then I'll skip down to verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's just, I guess that's kind of what I was thinking about is with communion service. The bread of life is Jesus. The Word became flesh, and the wine is his blood, representing his blood. So I was just thinking along those lines, I guess. And John 6, verse 35 to 66. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to him, looks to the Son and believes in him, shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert, yet they died. But here's the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on the bread, on this bread, will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum. Now I'm just thinking a lot of times we're a little bit disgusted with the Jews, and they here was Jesus, their own people, and they rejected him. But if you think about it, and someone tells you to eat him, then you're somewhat reluctant. I'm assuming most of us would be rather reluctant to eat him and drink his blood. So I can't be too hard on the Jews, other than I guess they weren't spiritual. It's basically all I can conclude. If they couldn't accept it, they weren't spiritual, because he goes on here to say that on hearing it, many of his disciples said, This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. So, I guess he didn't stray from the truth just to keep his disciples. And I think in our life we're trying to be filled with his Spirit and trying to make disciples of men. We're trying to lead people to Jesus. But he was willing. He stayed true. He was doing the will of the Father, and people who couldn't follow, he had to let them go, basically, is all I can see there. He was willing to stick to the truth, to be forthright, and to the point that half, or I'm just assuming, it sounds like many, so I don't know if half, but a lot of people turned away and quit following him. So, yeah, I guess that's more what I think about on communion, more than about bread and grape juice. But I'd see value in continuing with the tradition and the ritual. It's just the ritual is simply something we do in remembrance. And if we become caught up in the ritual, I think we're being unspiritual, just like the Jews were in that day. And so, I don't know. I think more along these lines lately, anyways. I don't know. It's always intrigued me and inspired me when someone was able to, we just heard about Dirk Willems this morning, and people like that have always encouraged and inspired me to the faith. That's how I want to go. That's how I want to go, is because of my faith. It's not really easy to think, but I've come to a conclusion, if you want to die, if you want to die because of your faith, you're going to have to live like it. You can't really. If you want to be killed because of your faith, and it's not like I'm saying I want to be killed for my faith, but I want to have that attitude to be ready to die, and it would be an honor to come to that point where I'd be arrested and tied to a stake and burned for as a testimony to Jesus Christ, because of how it inspires me when I read the accounts of other martyrs. And Stephen, the first martyr, has always been a favorite character in the Bible for me. Bold in the faith, and then he was killed. And I just came to the conclusion, if you want to die in that way, you got to live that way. So, some 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2, and then skip down to 12 to 19. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. And then verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. That's just an encouragement, I guess. We don't really get beaten up for our faith here. Maybe that day will come again. But we still can take on that attitude to willingly suffer and to rejoice in the suffering if it does come. So I had some other thoughts concerning suffering. There's no one here that came here without suffering. Maybe your mother had to suffer for you to come here and live. Every person here, you all are the fruit of suffering. If your mother wouldn't have suffered, you wouldn't live. So it's just something intriguing to me that we all, physically speaking, there was suffering to bring us here. And I'm not married, I don't have a wife, I don't have kids, but there's some fathers here, and I'm just assuming, as your wife was suffering for your children to be born, there was a suffering going on in your heart, an emotional suffering, and you would have so wanted to take that suffering on yourself so that she wouldn't have to bear that pain. But you couldn't. She had to have the suffering. And she had the physical suffering and you had the emotional suffering as you watched. And it reminds me how it must have been when Jesus was on the cross. He was giving life to the world, suffering in his body, and the Father was suffering in his spirit and his soul as Jesus had to bear that pain, physical pain, and the Father had to let him suffer that, and his mind and his emotions were suffering as Jesus took on the pain so that we could have life. So in closing, I'd just like to share a story of a song, country song by Randy Travis. It's called Three Wooden Crosses. I was going to pray for some emotional stability before I come up here, and I forgot, but just bear with me. It's just a story. I can't sing the whole song. I might sing the chorus eventually. Story of four people on a bus, and two of them, there was a farmer and a teacher, and a hooker and a preacher. And two of them were done with their day's work and heading off. I'm not even sure what they were doing. And then two of them were looking for lost souls. And the bus crashed. And three of the people died, and one of them was spared and given another chance. And the preacher was able to give his Bible, was stained with blood because of the accident, was stained with blood, and he was able to give his Bible to the hooker, and she came to faith in Christ through that. I was just thinking too, another testimony of how I would want to die, giving life to a hooker. It was the last thing he was able to do, give life to a hooker. And I really appreciate the song. Just like to close with trying to sing the last, or the verse, or the chorus of the song. There was three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go.